It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
And here we are once again, Sunday night, episode 161, back at our 8 p.m. time this week. Brian, good to see you, my friend. How goes it?
I'm going to tell you something. This is the high point of my week when I get to sit here for an hour, hour 10, hour 15, and just stare at your beautiful mug.
You're too much. You're too much. Well, let's get things rolling here with our drink of the week.
Drink of the week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Who's?
Drink of the week. Drink of the week. Drink
All right, week. Brian, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking something that looks like this.
Wow, it looks like tar. Did you pour yourself a glass of motor oil?
What I've got lined up for us here today is from our good friends in Licking Hole Creek Craft Brewery. We've got something called Blueberry Obsession coming in at 11.5 ABV. That's right, people, 11.5. We do have a pajama party coming up at 9:30 tonight with our Patreons. So I want it to be properly lubricated for that. It's a American Imperial Stout. Blueberry Obsession, stunning blueberry flavor, derives from the combination of hundreds of pounds of dark roasted malt sourced from all over the world with a ridiculous amount of fresh blueberry flavor.
All right, give it a sip.
These are not going to be my words, but made to be imbibed with one you love. Turn down the lights. Cue the music. Blueberry Obsession.
I liked beer.
Brian, do you like this beer?
Oh, yeah, I do.
All right.
Oh, I do like that.
Wow.
Oh, it's not what I would consider a summer beer.
Okay.
But goddamn, that's a tasty beverage.
All right. Very nice. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And I look forward to see how drunk you get for the rest of the show. Yes.
Well, I will say this. In hopes of not being super sloppy, I am not doing, I'm not sipping any whiskey during this week's show.
Good call. Very responsible. Thank you.
Ron, can I ask you a question? It might be personal. It might make you feel a little uncomfortable, which is, you know, the space where I like to place you as much as I can. What are you drinking this week?
Well, you know, Brian, we will often have conversations and you will say to me, Ron, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, it's only known for the Little League World Series. And I'll say, Brian, you ignorant slut. It is also the home of New Trail Brewing. And so for this week from New Trail, I've got their Gummy Bears Milkshake IPA brewed with vanilla, orange, raspberry, and you know my favorite, lactose. This beer is clocking in at a 7.2%. Gives you notes of orange flesh, sweet raspberries, vanilla, and light pine due to the citra hops. It's a cloudy IPA. You can see that right there. But let's take a sip, see how it is.
Well, I think some of that cloudiness is coming from the lactose. Clearly, I know you like your lactose.
Oh no!
When you're going for a second sip, that's when I know that you're cooked. You're done. You're ready.
That's a great beer.
You're ready to take on the world.
Go on record and say that might be one of my favorite IPAs. Just great flavor, not too hoppy. You actually taste the fruit flavors. So I could go for a little bit more lactose, but what are you going to do, Brian?
I would still like to know what lactose tastes like.
Okay. Well, I will see if we can get you just some concentrated lactose for you to try one of these weeks.
I once drank a pregnant woman's breast milk. Does that count as lactose?
Let's say that it does for right now.
Good.
In the meantime, let's move on to This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
Racism.
So we had a light week on racism last week. We are back to two pages of racism again this week. So let's get right into it with Marv Albert coming under fire after referring to Kevin Durant and Giannis. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that last name, but he called the two of them, quote, valuable property while doing commentary on TNT for Game 7 of the Brooklyn Nets-Milwaukee Bucks game, which took place on Juneteenth. Albert has been dragged across Twitter since his comments, which he is yet to address. After being confronted by local media, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat from Rhode Island, denied that he is a member of an exclusive Newport Beach club accused of only admitting white people and insisted that the organization does have non-white members. While he said that he has no membership to resign when it came to Bailey's Beach Club, he did note that he belongs to a local sailing club that, quote, does lack diversity. Whitehouse then seemed to defend the all-white clubs that still exist in the state as being, quote, a long tradition in Rhode Island, and there are many of them. An Atlanta branch of IKEA has sparked outrage with what employees are calling an intensely problematic menu curated to celebrate Juneteenth. Quote, to honor the perseverance of Black Americans and acknowledge the progress yet to be made, we observe Juneteenth on Saturday, June 19th, begins an email sent to employees at the branch last week. Look out for a special menu on Saturday, which will include fried chicken, watermelon, mac and cheese, potato salad, collard greens, and candied yams. As many as 33 Black workers didn't show up in response, causing the store's manager to apologize via internal email. An Indiana man who racially harassed his Black neighbor was sentenced to 46 months in federal prison after he pleaded guilty to the harassment. Shepard Hone began harassing his neighbor after they removed a tree from their yard. Hone was so offended that he burned a cross on his lawn, displayed a swastika, put up a sign with various racial slurs on it, and threw eggs at their home. Hone told FBI agents that he wanted to make his neighbor's lives miserable. In addition to the 46 months, Hone will also be under supervised release for 3 years. Far-right talk radio host Michael Savage made an appearance on Newsmax last week, warning that the teaching of critical race theory in schools is similar to, quote, exactly what was done to the Jews in Germany and is the road to the death camps for white people.
No.
But it's not. A crazed bigot punched and screamed anti-Muslim slurs at two couples strolling in Queens in unprovoked attacks less than an hour apart, breaking one victim's nose. A 31-year-old man and a 24-year-old woman were walking near Liberty Avenue and Lefferts Boulevard in South Richmond Hill when the assailant ran up and started screaming at them. He punched the man in the back and tugged on the woman's hijab before punching her in the arm and running off. An hour later and about a mile away, the same attacker stormed up on a 64-year-old man and 56-year-old woman on Inwood Avenue near Liberty Avenue while spewing anti-Muslim hate. He punched the woman repeatedly in the face before running off. Medics took the woman to Jamaica Hospital with a fractured nose and cuts to her face and head. The NYPD's Hate Crimes Task Force is investigating. The California Interscholastic Federation is reviewing an incident that happened after a weekend basketball game between Coronado High School and Orange Glen High School. Shortly after Coronado High beat Orange Glen in a regional championship game, tortillas were hurled at Orange Glen's team. Coronado High has a primarily white student population, while Orange Glen has a high population of Hispanics and Latinos. Coronado resident Luke Cerna has since come forward to say he brought 4 bags of tortillas to the game because it was a tradition to throw tortillas at some UC Santa Barbara sporting events, which was the college he graduated from. So far, Coronado basketball coach J.D. LaPerry has been fired, and State Senator Ben Hueso has asked for Coronado's basketball championship to be revoked. A Black Tennessee man is suing the city of Chattanooga for arresting him after he called the cops to report a 14-year-old white girl who crashed a car. Michael James was driving on the road when he saw a Nissan SUV driving in an erratic and dangerous manner, the suit states. The Nissan was being driven by a 14-year-old unlicensed driver and carried another minor in the passenger seat. James called 911 after the girls crashed their car into a nursery before running to a nearby house. The responding officer, however, decided to arrest James based on false statements from the girls involved in the accident. He is seeking $450,000 in damages over claims the responding officers violated his civil rights based on his race. A Florida state trooper is under review following an incident earlier this month in which he tased a biracial teen twice after catching the teen cutting through bushes to get to his girlfriend's house. On June 16th, 16-year-old Jack Rodman cut through bushes in his Fort Myers neighborhood to get to his girlfriend's yard. Florida Highway Patrol trooper George Smineros felt the teen looked suspicious and decided to follow him. Rodman explained to Smineros that his girlfriend lived there and was going to have her come outside, but the officer decided to tase Rodman twice instead. And lastly, we've had a number of reports over the past year of racist incidents involving Louisiana State Police. Now, federal investigators have launched an investigation into a potential pattern of racism in the department. The federal investigation being launched into the department seems to be a pattern or practice probe, which were introduced as part of a 1994 crime bill and have led to court-mandated police reforms in cities such as LA and New Orleans. While these investigations were largely dormant under the Trump administration, surprising, they have quickly restarted under the Biden administration. Attorney General Merrick Garland has launched practice or pattern investigations into the Louisiana Metro Police Department due to the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor, and another into the Minneapolis Police Department as a result of the murder of George Floyd. So hopefully we will we'll see some things happening in Louisiana now. And before we get out, we have one racism rewind.
Racism rewind.
And last week, we reported on an unidentified Warren, Michigan police officer that was under investigation for racist Facebook posts, including saying that he was glad he wasn't born black or he would have to kill himself. He was identified this week as Anwar Khan, and the Warren Police Department announced his firing due to the racist posts. It turns out that Khan was also arrested last year after he was accused of assaulting a man and a woman in Washington Township while off duty. He was charged with felony assault with a dangerous weapon, two counts of misdemeanor domestic violence, and one misdemeanor count of refusing to provide a DNA sample. According to the Detroit Free Press, he was acquitted of all charges and was allowed to return to duty after being placed on unpaid leave. And that, Brian, is This Week in Racism.
Jesus Christ.
Still kept it under 10 minutes this week. So I hope that makes you happy. I mean,
right. It wasn't our worst This Week in Racism. We've had far worse.
Yes.
Maybe not necessarily in volume, but I also feel like the acts of racism were, I would rate probably in like a 6, 6.5. Like, I didn't feel like it was just like over the top awful racism over awful racism. Not that there's, I realize that I'm really talking myself down into a pit of apologies.
Please continue. I would love.
No, I think I'm good. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, then I guess there's nothing to do but get to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
The New York State Liquor Authority.
Oh, this should be a good one. Talk to me.
Earlier this week, it was announced that New York State is dropping all aspects of the March 2020 COVID emergency order that basically gave Governor Mario Cuomo executive powers that had never been seen before in New York State, allowed a whole slew of different industries that were affected by the COVID pandemic restricted behaviors in one way, allowed behaviors in another. One of the things that was a byproduct of this executive order was that alcohol deliveries and to-go cups were suddenly legal as a way to assist the restaurant and bar industry in New York State. You could order a to-go cup of your favorite adult beverage and drink it as you were walking down the street, as well as call your local brewery or bar and ask for a alcohol delivery. Well, apparently, with the announcement within 24 hours of effective date, you had entire restaurants, entire bar industries that were suddenly hit with the realization that a significant portion of their revenue was not only going to be cut out, but was going to be cut with practically no advance notice. And therefore, yes, fuck the New York State Liquor Authority. However, silver lining here, Ron, because you know life is all about my silver linings.
Of course.
Silver lining here is that Taproom will still continue to deliver because their entire business model is alcohol delivery. It was not a special waiver during part of COVID.
Okay. So you're saying there's a, you at least you personally have a way to still get your beer, even though other companies are still being impacted by this.
True. Yes. Yes. I mean, I like my beer.
You do like your beer.
I liked beer.
Though I have decided not to continue my subscription to the Taproom Variety Pack of the Month.
Why is that?
There was just so many beers that I really would never have drank otherwise. Like this 11.5% blueberry obsession. It's already just weighing me down. You know me. I like a good Pilsner. I like a good lager. Like a good sour.
You like a good sour? Yep, yep. Anything else like, you like?
I like beer.
All right. Well, thank you for your beef of the week, my friend.
Ron?
Yes.
What's bothering you?
What is bothering me this week, Brian? It was the heat this week, the heat and the mugginess. And you would think I would be enjoying it because it is the first full week of summer, and of course we are a month into hot podcaster summer.
Hot podcaster summer.
And I'm even dressed for summer with, you know, my funky tie-dye shirt today and my hat.
Let's see it. No. You can stand up more.
You can give the whole shirt. You know, we're ready to party tonight. I've got my cheesy July 4th themed t-shirt, my PBR themed button-down. It's going to be a fun night on After Dark. But regardless, it was just way too hot and muggy, and I realized why. I enjoy spring and fall and summer, not as much.
Now, have you started your annual rite of passage as you do every summer when you start to apply talcum powder to your ball sack?
I mean, there is a lot of lotions, there is a lot of powders, because it truly is a hot podcaster summer.
Hot podcaster summer.
It needs to be as comfortable as possible. But listen, I'll be complaining in the winter when it's too cold. So you know me, I'm just never happy.
Listen, I'm just happy that you have electricity because I know that there was some rain in the forecast. And I'm just happy that, A, you don't have any water. Did we ever narrow down a number of what the water leak was going to cost you?
We did get the quote the other day to get it all fixed. Because it is a two-stage job. So it's running right around $2,800.
That's not so bad.
No, it's not bad, but I mean...
Don't get me wrong. I don't want to pay it, but like I was expecting a number at least four.
No, I figured it would be under... I figured it would be more than two, but less than three.
Do you know what else is more than two and less than three?
I'm afraid to ask, but what?
Never mind.
Okay. Was it going to be inappropriate? What? Illegal.
Nah, it was going to be a Miami.
So wrong. Very, very wrong. I mean, I guess now that you've mentioned that, do we get in? Because I guess it is the biggest story of the week so far is the Miami building collapse.
It's the 9/11 of 305. Let's just be brutally honest. That's exactly what it is. And that should be the name of the podcast. The 9/11 of 305.
I feel just very uncomfortable with you saying that, but that's all right. So as many of you have seen the video on Thursday night, it was about 1 a.m. One of the buildings of the Champlain Towers condo, I think it was the south building, collapsed. There are 9 confirmed deaths so far and still 152 people missing. They are trying to keep optimistic, but they're also getting to the point where they are starting to prepare families for the worst. You know, they're coming out and saying that they are still, you know, even with the pancake collapse of this building, that
I like to call it a flapjacking of the building.
There still might be pockets of oxygen and things like that where survivors might be holed up. But you also have to face the reality of, you know, if you survived the collapse, you know, now you're going on 72 hours without medical attention, without water. So odds are this will, at some point, they'll say this is going to become a recovery mission and not a rescue mission.
Yeah, I believe that's going to happen in the next 48 hours.
And, you know, a lot of conflicting reports about, you know, whether there had been, you know, issues with the building. Some were saying that there was structural issues, that, you know, some of the tenants had filed lawsuits against the owners of the building. Also talking about, you know, I guess when you're a building near the salt water can get into the concrete, weaken the structure as well. Which is why I guess every 40 years they need to, you know, go through an inspection. And so I just froze up there a bit. Not sure.
Right, you did. Well, you know, I think you froze just like somebody who was living on the 8th floor of that building as they felt the 9th floor coming, pounding right into them in the middle of the night. You know, what I find interesting about this story, and I don't know why you're looking at me that way.
with disdain or disappointment?
It was the disappointment. I recognize that look. I've received it many times in my life. The thing that I found really interesting was the fact that everybody seems, or I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people are already clinging to this as evidence of something that fits within the worldview that they want to be true. The people who are looking to blame developers are automatically talking about shoddy construction. The people who feel that there's not enough government regulation are already going after the fact that this building had structural problems, and that because Miami is little free dealing in terms of enforcement of certain things. Thank you, Governor DeSantis, that they're going that. And there are even people who are using this building collapse as a perfect example of climate change. And this is going to happen as the earth gets warmer. And I don't believe anybody knows exactly why this happened. I think we will eventually after grandma and grandpa are who ironically survived COVID, but are going to they're going to go down in the Champagne Towers of South Building. By the way, oddly to note is that my former boss, when I was living in Florida, lived a block away from this. He was at 8877. This was at 8777.
Interesting. Well, there's definitely, you know, again, a number of stories coming out, some saying that the tenants were told the building was in very good shape despite major issues. There are articles that the developers of the tower were once accused of paying off government officials. One of the weirder stories that I've seen is a man whose grandparents are unaccounted for says that he has been getting repeated phone calls from the landline. From that was in their condo. He said that he's had at least 16 phone calls from the number of his missing grandparents, Arnie and Miriam Notkin. But every time he answers the phone, he hears nothing but static every time.
Did you say Arnie Notkin?
Arnie Notkin, yes.
I have him in my 2021 Ron and Brian podcast death pool. Well, get out of here. He's worth 17 points.
Then you will need to hold on and wait to see when they actually start, you know, declaring some people dead. A very sad story, though. But
it is a very sad story. What I think is crazy is they've got video of it of the building going down.
Yeah, if they have some security camera caught the one building collapsing and then the second portion of it. I mean, again, you look at it and it's more surprising that anybody survived, that they pulled anyone alive from that kind of wreckage. They were interviewing someone. He is a pitcher for the University of Connecticut baseball team. And he was staying in, he was in the building and heard a noise. And, you know, he and his girlfriend went out of the condo and looked down the hall where the elevators normally are. And there was just open space. So he was literally 15 feet from, you know, where the building broke away and collapsed. So obviously he ended up, you know, evacuating the building. But I mean, that's, you know, as bad as it is for the people that were in the building that collapsed, it's also got to mess you up mentally to be in the building that didn't collapse.
Or, and hear me out on this one, or you just walk away feeling very fortunate.
I have to feel there might be a little bit of survivor's guilt there.
I think that's projection. I think you would feel survivor's guilt, and therefore you're thinking that some college kid has the toolbox to actually feel guilt. I guarantee you that kid's at the Fountain Blue right now getting bottle service, trying to snort cocaine off the fake breasts of a bottle girl.
Or is that what you would be doing?
Never done coke. No interest in doing coke.
All right. Fair enough.
Also, too cheap to pay for bottle service. Don't come at me with a $400 charge for a $50 bottle of Grey Goose. Shit. Right. I'll bring my own.
Also this week, this was a pretty busy news week. The sentencing of Derek Chauvin took place on, what was that, on Friday that was?
It was Friday. I was prepared. I had a to-go bag already packed. It had a crowbar. It had a brick. It had a can of black spray paint. It had a mask. I was ready to riot.
Anyway, so earlier in the day on Friday, a judge had thrown out Chauvin's request for a new trial. And in the afternoon, we waited for the sentencing as it was shown live on TV. The prosecution asking for 30 years, the defense asking for probation, no jail time, just time served. And the Minnesota state guidelines calling for a 12 and a half year sentence. The judge, Judge Cahill, you know, speaking about the extenuating circumstances and the fact that, you know, Chauvin was a police officer, you know, charged with upholding the law and not breaking it, gave him a 22 and a half year prison sentence. Brian, enough, not enough. What are your thoughts?
Listen, we know I'm an Old Testament kind of guy. I'm a believer in an eye for an eye. 22 and a half years. How much does he realistically serve before he's eligible for probation?
15.
Yeah, 15 is not enough for killing someone. And I don't want to get my emotions from what happened. I mean, we all watched the video. We also saw 8 minutes and 46 seconds of Chauvin with his knee on the back of the neck of George Floyd. I don't think we're going to feel good in 15 years when he gets out.
Okay.
Hopefully he doesn't get out in 15 years.
Well, and also keep
maybe somebody Whitey Bulgers him.
Maybe somebody to, I mean, again, it's going to be a very rough time in prison, as it usually is for police officers. But also keep in mind that he will also be facing federal charges for violating the civil rights of George Floyd. It's very possible he could get extra years tacked on for that. And of course, the other officers involved in the arrest and murder will go on trial in March of next year, I believe it is.
That's all right. I think, it's kind of fucked up. It is kind of fucked up. I don't feel a 22 and a half years sentence is enough.
It's a valid point from Billy here. Derek Chauvin may be a good addition to the 2022 death pool. And while he's not necessarily a celebrity, musician, or athlete, I think we have to allow his inclusion.
I didn't know that you could only do a celebrity in the death pool.
Well, you really should. I mean, it is a celebrity death pool, so you would think that in the name of it would kind of lead you down that path.
Well, I wish that you had told me this beforehand.
I mean, you did pick my unemployment benefits in the pool, which I guess.
And I still say that I get I should get something for that.
Oh, you'll get something, my friend. Don't you?
Because worry. I mean, I'm just going to say that. I mean, I had Antonio Lozano and Gladys Lozano in my death pool this year. Combined, I think they're worth 17 and 21. I believe I should be getting 38 points for them.
Well, we'll look into that. We'll send it.
I mean, they are celebrities now. Now and we all watch the video of their building being pancaked at 8777 Collins Boulevard.
Speaking of death pool picks, one of my death pool picks, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, got his Rudy, law license Rudy, temporarily Rudy, suspended Rudy, this past Rudy, Thursday by a panel of New York judges who found that he made false and misleading statements related to voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Kind of surprising to see. Typically, they won't temporarily suspend a license prior to a full hearing, but they this panel clearly felt that Giuliani's involvement in the big lie was enough to warrant it.
Ron, what you're looking at here is the epitome of cancel culture. It wasn't popular what he was saying, so therefore, let's try to rob him of his voice.
Well, and that's exactly what Rudy said. He compared the suspension to Soviet communism and said it was a complete invasion of his First Amendment rights and his rights as an attorney. Of course, Donald Trump had to weigh in, blasting the court's decision as well. Although from comments in the news this week, it would appear that Trump and the Trump Foundation will find themselves in front of those very same judges soon.
It seems like Rudy forgot that he had some responsibility as a member of the New York State Bar. He bought the big lie. He bought into that 100%. He saw this as his... this was going to be the way that he weaseled into the number one slot supporting David Trump, former president. And I think what we're looking at here is just, you know, an unpopular opinion by a man who is in a position where he can be punished for those reckless comments that he made. The fact that they allowed him to keep his legal license after the abysmal press conference that he gave at the Four Seasons Landscaping. The fact that they allowed him to keep his legal license after that press conference where he was sweating hair dye. The fact that they allowed him to keep his license after he farted during the, I believe it was Minneapolis, the hearing where he was sitting next to the woman who claimed that she was a poll worker, who was turned out a different type of poll worker. Not that I'm judging or anything, but if we remember, he farted on her and then she came up with COVID not that long afterwards. So, the guy has become literally a fucking embarrassment of what he once was. I like the fact that his son is now running for governor.
Yes, Andrew Giuliani, trying to get the win the Republican primary to run against whoever. I assume Cuomo will run again, but whoever the Democratic candidate will be. Some just amazing press conferences so far. And the one thing I always remember is when he was a kid, what's his name? Chris Farley.
Andrew. It was brilliant.
Doing an impersonation of him on Saturday Night Live, which was just... seems even more spot on now, 20 some years later.
Yeah. The kid's personality has not changed at all. He's still just a flaming asshole.
And he produced a poll the other day saying...
I'm producing a poll right now, Ron.
Saying that he is in the lead in the Republican primary, however, had no actual evidence or actual name of the polling company to back that up. So he's taking a page out of his dad's playbook, clearly.
Listen, that they unfortunately, you know, the Republican Party seems to be the party that at this point just makes baseless claims that nobody ever calls him out on.
I am less interested in Rudy Giuliani's legal license. I would, however, enjoy knowing when the lawsuit of the Dominion voting machines against Giuliani will take place.
We will definitely hear about it.
That will be just some quality TV entertainment.
Do you know what else is quality entertainment?
I would love to hear what else is quality entertainment.
The Ron and Brian podcast After Dark, which is something that we do that every week, 9:30 Eastern time. We do it on our Patreon. So it is behind the paywall. So it's only for people who are subscribers of our Patreon. Become a patron. Go to RonandBrianPodcast.com. Click the link in the upper right-hand corner. What we do is we set aside stories that are, how would I say this, somewhat delicate in nature. Usually they are spicy, sexual, titillating. The kind of things that would get us bounced off of Facebook and YouTube. So we store those on the back. And tonight is particularly exciting because one of the things that we do on the last Sunday of every month is we do something we like to call a pajama party, the Ron and Brian pajama party, where we invite our patrons. Oh, you loved it. We invite our patrons onto the show. They come on After Dark with us. We've got a bunch of things lined up for After Dark this month. I will be hosting the Price is Not So Right version of OnlyFans, where our patrons will be guessing how much various OnlyFans accounts cost on a monthly basis. Prizes go to the winner. It's going to be awesome.
We also have fake boobs versus real boobs. Our resident tit expert, Elisa, will come on to see. We're going to throw some photos up, and she feels pretty confident that she can pick the fake and the real. So we're gonna find that out tonight, 9:30. You can still get in there by going to RonandBrianPodcast.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner join. Bronze level or higher, you get in at the live Ron and Brian After Dark.
Yeah, don't join the aluminum. Only cheap bastards come in for $5 a month.
Yeah.
If you come in at 10, you get to join us live at $5 or more a month. At $5, all you get is the audio file that you can listen to of the After Dark. For $10 or more per month, you get to join us live.
Now, more important than After Dark, Brian, let me ask you, what are you watching?
What am I watching? Well, one thing that I'm watching, and I know that you're excited by this, is I watched the movie Nobody this past weekend, starring everybody's famous action, favorite action star, Bob Odenkirk.
Kind of out of left field there. Yes.
A little bit. Enjoyed the movie, felt that there were some major plot issues, but overall, I felt that it was just a fun hour and a half.
I watched it a couple of months back, enjoyed it, enjoyed seeing Christopher Lloyd, was very shocked to see him pop up in the film there.
Christopher Lloyd will be in my 2022 death pool.
Yeah. But to your point, I mean, not a great story. You don't really want to try and follow the plot. But if you like a lot of action, if you like, a lot of violence, fighting, shooting, stuff blowing up, I think this is the movie for you. And as someone not known as an action star, I think Odenkirk did a pretty good job in there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very light on the plot. I felt that it was very formulaic. It was very it feels like a story I've seen about a dozen times. Guy who's trying to live the suburban life comes out. And we find out that he's actually a government killer who's been trained by the top levels of military intelligence on 1,000 different ways to kill people. It was like Rambo minus the Pacific Northwest. Anywho, so I watched that. I would say that's a solid 3.5 out of 5. Also watched the latest episode of Marvel's Loki
episode three.
Ron, I know that you're following this religiously because you are a fan of all things Marvel. Ron, how did you think episode three lined up with episodes one and two?
I'm still a little behind. I'm still just on episode one right now.
So excuse me?
I've been a little busy this week, so I'm still on it.
Wait a second. You're still on episode one?
I am. You're still ahead of me with Loki.
Oh, you son of a bitch. The only reason...
All right, I will make this pledge to you because obviously the new episodes come out on Wednesday. I will catch up on all current episodes by next week's episode.
The only reason I'm watching Loki is so I can discuss it on the podcast with you, our resident Marvel expert.
I will. I'll get caught up. What did you think of episode three?
It's starting to feel like a Mandalorian.
Okay,
which is we've established the story. Loki is working with the variant Loki, and I still don't understand why the variant Loki is called variant Loki, because I've yet to understand why this has anything to do with Loki, but that's neither here nor there. But now they're going from, they're now visiting a different planet trying to get off of it. And the whole episode is them going to this planet and then trying to get off this planet. And it feels like it is a very, a stolen concept that the Mandalorian this past, what was it? Fall was the Mandalorian in the fall or winter?
I believe so.
Mandalorian had a huge issue that I had, which was that every episode was Mandalorian has to go somewhere to drop off the little baby pea pod. And the idea is the fact that in each episode, he goes to a different land. They're like, I'd love to help you, but first you have to help me, kill my bad people, and then I'll help you get out of here. And then it's like six episodes later and Mark Hamill comes out in a terribly CGI'd scene that caused a lot of people to be excited, except for me. Hey, Ron.
Yes.
What are you watching? Because clearly you're not watching Loki.
Clearly I have not caught up on Loki. I did watch season two of Black Summer. Finally debuted on Netflix. Season one was a couple of years back. Zombie based TV show. Really enjoyed season one of Black Summer, so that's why I gave season two a chance. Am not as excited with season two. They don't have any of the same actors, which is fine because season one they did kind of tie up that storyline. But season one was much more direct. Like it just followed your basic timeline. Like it starts here and then it ends in the final episode. Whereas the second season, they're introducing all these new characters with no context, and they're doing them in like little vignettes, and the time kind of jumps back and forth. So you're not exactly sure in the first few episodes what the hell is going on. So it's getting a little bit better. I made it through episode three, so it's gotten a little bit better. I will see if how it continues.
So you had the option of watching three episodes of this shitty show, or you could have watched Loki, as we had agreed to do this summer, so we could discuss Loki every week. And instead, I'm stuck holding the bag, having watched every episode of Loki.
Yes.
And you're watching other things.
Correct. I also finished up Cruel Summer on Freeform that I've been watching. Very good end to the season, I will say. Did not see some of the ending of the season come. So I will still recommend Cruel Summer on Freeform. Kind of cheesy, very end of the show, the way they finally wrapped it up. But the storyline up till the very end of the show was good. That's what I've been watching.
What's Freeform?
It's apparently a channel out there, but I get it on Hulu.
Is it free?
It's free on Hulu. I mean, if your Hulu is free, I mean, I pay $1 a month for Hulu because I got that Black Friday special.
I did the Hulu, ESPN, and Disney bundle.
Nice.
Oh, no. I think I did didn't I do Hulu? No. Yeah, it was Hulu, Disney,
Hulu, and Plus, yeah. And Disney Plus.
Yeah, I did all three of those as a bundle. I couldn't even tell you what I'm paying.
I think it was like $12 a month.
Yeah, it was a reasonable number. I feel like I'm getting my money's worth out of it. I mean, fortunately, it allows me to watch on a weekly basis new episodes of Marvel's Loki.
I forgot.
the mischievous rebel or whatever the fuck he's called. What do you call him?
The god of mischief.
I was pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I forgot that my promotional period of HBO Max ran out. So I just got hit with a $15 charge for HBO that I'm not really watching.
So why don't you cancel it and get my login?
I gotta do that. Yeah, because I think we told you last week we tried to watch In the Heights and just wasn't happening.
That's gross. It was terrible. What are you paying a month in cable?
It's cable and internet, around $210, $212.
Oh, I'm paying $226. I called because I've got the triple package.
Oh yeah, I do too, even though I don't have a phone.
Because you know I've got the triple package.
You
down
do,
there.
My friend. You do.
Franks and beans, Jerry. I called just outraged because I noticed my bill had gone up to $226 a month. So I called to complain to see if there was a cheaper. And they literally, and I was shocked. They were like, hey, no. It'll cost more if we downgrade you.
Yeah.
I'm like, how? I'm paying $225 a month. How is there not some type of deal?
Like, yeah, I managed to get mine down from like 221 to like 212. And so they had a special promotion running. I was able to increase my internet speed, which is oh so great, as you can tell by the way I froze up earlier. It's really a commercial for
But let's face it, you insist on doing this show on Wi-Fi. You don't like to be hardwired.
I have it hardwired.
Really?
Yeah. This is hardwired with my Wi-Fi off.
This is 40. This is America. This is Ron's internet on hardwire.
All right, what else do we have here this week?
In a world where Ron's hardwire is so hard that Brian feels it jutting into his lower back.
So this was one of my favorite stories of the week. The father of one of the victims of the Parkland shooting managed to trick a former NRA president into speaking at a fake graduation. David Keen, former NRA president and current board member, they managed to invite him to a graduation for the James Madison Academy 2021 graduating class. The kicker being that James Madison Academy doesn't exist. They brought him out. There was a outdoor graduation setting with a big stage, all these chairs. And they said to him, they're like, we want to test this out before you go live and have you read your speech. And so then they filmed it with him in front of, what is it, 3,044 empty chairs?
Empty chairs, yes.
Which represented all the students who did not get the opportunity to graduate this year, just this year, because they were killed by gun violence.
And it's an incredible video. I think if we can, we'll put it up on our Facebook for our friends or a link. But it's a very powerful video because the field is covered in empty white chairs. And you hear the video message or see the video message of this NRA freak who's talking about, you know, the dreams that these kids are going to have as they move forward in life and how they need to stand strong for their beliefs and not let, you know, the government take away their rights. Meanwhile, he's talking to an empty field of people who died because of the business that he has profited from.
Right.
Very powerful.
They also invited John Lott, an author and gun rights activist, to give remarks. I think he is in a separate video. But the funny thing is after the filming, they just told Keen and Lott that the graduation was canceled and never let them know about these videos. And so, you know, the media starts reaching out to these guys and they're like, they had no idea. So, and so it was organized by an organization called Change the Ref, founded by Manuel and Patricia Oliver, whose son Joaquin was killed in 2018 in that shooting at Parkland. And they said, you know, ironically, had these guys conducted a proper background check on the school, they would have realized the school didn't actually exist.
Well, we know these guys aren't big fans of background checks.
No, not at all. But it is, yeah, we'll post the YouTube video.
Yeah, fuck those guys. Article. Fuck those guys so fucking hard. Fuck them all. You know who else got fucked this week?
I'm afraid to ask, but who?
John McAfee. I mean, listen, anybody who's over the age of 20 understands how important McAfee antivirus software was. Whenever you would buy a computer, you would get a free 30, 60, 90-day trial to McAfee antivirus software, which supposedly kept your computer safe from hackers.
Hackers, viruses.
Well, the namesake.
Malware.
Malware. I love the word malware. So apparently the namesake of that software, the company that made that software, John McAfee, made millions on this antivirus software that he helped conceive. Apparently not a big fan of paying his taxes.
Nope.
Fled the country when charges started coming down. Lived in Belize for a certain point where he started to, he really tried to remake his image as a from a tech software guy into a armed guard military bad boy. Killed his neighbor. I mean, can I say he's dead? I don't think I need to say allegedly anymore.
So he also, he did not pay taxes on his income from 2014 to 2018. And in a separate indictment in a Manhattan federal court, he apparently pumped up a cryptocurrency that he touted on social media, apparently bilking investors out of some $13 million. So he was in prison in Brazil. Lost an extradition hearing, so he was going to have to come to the States to face these charges, and apparently decided to check out.
He was in Spain.
Spain? Are you sure it was Spain?
Pretty sure he was in Spain. He was in Barcelona. Barcelona!
You are correct. I apologize for that.
He was in 52 minutes, and I'm still paying attention. But what is fascinating about him is that he had made such a public show before he had gotten arrested when he was on the run that he would never kill himself. And he tweeted multiple times that the government was going to kill him under the guise of him committing suicide, that he would never suicide himself when Jeffrey Epstein, your favorite celebrity molester, when Jeffrey Epstein allegedly killed himself. I can say he killed himself. Fuck him. Who gives a shit? When Jeffrey Epstein died, McAfee immediately was just like, that'll never be me. If you ever hear that I've committed suicide, just know government killed me. He really tried to ham up this idea that he was an enemy of the government. And the government, was going to use all, means against him. So allegedly he killed himself. At the end of the day, he saved us from a public trial, from incarceration. He's not doing 22 and a half years in prison. Fuck him. He's dead.
And then less than an hour after his suicide was reported, his Instagram account posted a large Q with no caption or explanation, which, of course, led all of the QAnon folks up there to believe that he had done the old dead man switch. That it wasn't really him dead in that cell. It was just a body double. And he had escaped to live a better day.
Fuck him.
And then also our second celebrity death, somewhat, that came in right before the show tonight. Former Skid Row singer Johnny Solinger, dead at the age of 55, passing away yesterday, about a month after he told fans that he had been diagnosed with liver failure.
Really? You're going to call that a celebrity death?
I mean, he was in Skid Row. He sang the songs. He's no Sebastian Bach, but I mean, really, who is?
We are the old men in world.
and really, and I said this to you before the show, really looked like Axl Rose now, just kind of a bloated guy with a bandana.
Well, I heavy metal guys don't age gracefully because, I mean, I'm going to say this. There is a certain aspect, obviously some people, you know, age very well. But there is a lot of people in the scene who buy into the, you know, the Jack Daniels and beer partying, you know, banging groupies and drinking to excess. And that lifestyle, I think you and I both realize, you know, it catches up with you at some point. You can't live like that forever. So what happens sometimes is you end up being about 40 pounds over what you should be weighing. You're wearing a bandana over some type of hair plugs and extensions. You're looking like Bret Michaels on a good day. And it's not a good look.
No, not at all. Well, rest in peace to Johnny Solinger.
I once saw Skid Row in concert.
Did you?
Clutch opened up for them at the Limelight in New York.
Was Sebastian Bach singing at that point?
Yes. So the room, Clutch came on, did an amazing set, loved them. I figured I would stick around. I watched almost all of Skid Row during, what was it, 16 in Life? Was that their
18 in Life. Song?
18 in Life. During 18 in Life, somebody jumped on stage and tried to give Sebastian a hug. And I remember him being like, come on, man, I'm in the moment. I'm singing. But he threw like a little bitch fit, and then it was just like, fuck him. All right. Vince Neil. Vince Neil's another one that looks terrible.
Yeah, he's put on a few. He should really if he'd like to reach out to me for some health care advice, weight loss advice, I'd be glad to help him.
Do you want to talk about your weight loss? Because I've tried to keep that behind the Patreon.
I mean, it's we're doing good. I think 36 pounds, something like that. So again, fitted into a large shirt when I went out shopping today.
No way.
Down from an extra large.
I wear an extra large. These are my shirts. I like my shirts a little.
You like it a little roomy? I mean, it needs.
I do.
You like it tight around the neck, and you like it roomy in the body.
Look at this perfect neckline.
Yeah, it's golden, very gold.
Look at the way like it's just perfect. It's not too low. It's not coming off at an angle.
Sticking in the world of shirt. Britney Spears was in the news again this week.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Try and get the conservatorship. To either get it completely removed, or at the very least, get her father Jamie removed as the overseer of her conservatism.
You want to say that word again?
I don't think I can because
conservatorship.
Conservatorship. It's a very mouthy word. So she appeared in a LA court via virtual court appearance. She said she's. Had a lot of very shocking claims. You know, she said mentally she hasn't been doing well, regardless as to what she feels she's been forced to post on Instagram about her mental and physical health. She said that she would like to have another child, but she has not been allowed to make the necessary doctor's appointment to have her IUD removed. So her and her boyfriend, have not been able to proceed with that. And she would just, she doesn't, her dad is making a lot of money. Her dad's made like $4 million in salary over the last 10 years and heading up all of this. Just very shocking stuff. You have to think at some point the court has to find in her favor.
Well, the thing is the fact that, like, I understand there was a period of time where she was behaving erratically.
Yes.
She was a mother of two young sons at the time. I think that she needed help. I'm shocked that the conservatorship model is existent for an adult. And the fact that 20 years later, she's still under it. That somehow in all these years, she has not shown that she is leading a more stable existence, that she could be trusted to make the decisions in her life. Miscarriage of justice, to put it mildly.
Well, and many people have said this is not how a conservatorship should be handled or should be used. But regardless, you know, it does seem like there is a growing conflict of interest with her dad running it, especially considering the amount of money that, you know, he makes, and that, right. you know, she has to, when something like this happens, she has to not only spend money on her attorneys, but she has to pay for her father's attorneys as well. They've right. made millions of dollars over the
years.
And, you know, they keep pushing her out on tour. You know, pre-COVID, she was doing her residency in Las Vegas. Yep. In 2019, she pulled in like $65 million. When you look at, you know, top album sales over the last 20 years, I think she is the top female artist as far as record sales in the last 20 years.
You drive me crazy.
So again, at the very least, like you said, I mean, it's been what, 13, 14 years since she had her breakdown. And yeah, I mean, there was a point in her life where clearly she needed some help. But that, you know, that is a while back, and she does seem to be on in a much more stable situation in her life.
I think we need to leave Britney alone.
Her dad needs to leave Britney alone. No question. What else we got this week, Brian?
We got Patreon. We got After Dark.
We got After Dark coming up in the next 30 minutes at the bottom of the hour. And also, oh, this was also this week. Man, this was a week in news, and everything kind of got overshadowed with that building collapse in Florida.
You know what also got overshadowed by that building collapse, Ron?
Please tell me.
The first floor of that building got overshadowed by floors 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, as they pancake down, collapsing everything underneath it. You know what also got overshadowed?
I am afraid to ask, but tell me.
The entrance to that building.
Anyway,
pancake. It's the 9/11 of 305. I'm insisting that that's the name of the podcast. I'm insisting on it.
L.A. Raiders defensive end.
Yeah, you know what? Great idea. Let's end this episode on a high note.
Yes.
Because speaking of high, our old friend Angela Fang, I believe her name is Angela Fang. Wasn't she a subscriber, Angela Fang?
I'm not aware of that. I don't see all the names of our subscribers. But anyway, L.A. Raiders.
I thought she died in the – I thought she was on floor 10. Of the Champagne Towers.
I got to cut you off. I'm going to have to cut the mic off soon.
Don't do that to me.
Carl Nassib became the first active player in the NFL to come out as gay, releasing a statement on his Instagram page, which the 28-year-old said he has agonized over for the past 15 years. But seeing a groundswell of support since coming out, his jersey became the top-selling jersey on NFL.com. The following day, you know, he donated money to different organizations as he made his announcement. But it, you know, hopefully this will inspire other athletes that have felt uncomfortable, you know, bringing this kind of information about their lives out. Hopefully this will help them.
I'm sorry. Call me cynical, but am I supposed to believe that the NFL fan base ran out and immediately started buying this guy's official jersey?
I don't know that it was necessarily the NFL fan base, but I think, you know, I think there
you're going to tell me that that's a legitimate statement that his jersey soared to be the number one sold.
All I can say is, according to the NFL, the following day, his jersey was the highest. Now, again, it may have just been for a day.
Right.
He had the highest selling jersey on NFL.com. Far be it from you
to call bullshit on that,
my friend.
I will call bullshit on that. I will say this. Bless him. You know, he's the first active NFL player.
Yes.
To announce that he was a member of the LGBTQ community. Bless him. Absolutely. You know, the announcements like this make people realize that, you know, their darkest worries and concerns about the gay community are completely unfounded. And hopefully more people that are in the same boat as him make this type of announcement, and we can all start moving on and not be afraid that our children are going to be molested in public bathrooms.
There you go. Big news about the show for next week. Due to the holiday, due to July 4th falling on a Sunday, and certainly not due to anything I may have scheduled that would conflict with the recording of this podcast. Next week, we will be doing the show Monday, July 5th at 8 o'clock with After Dark to follow Monday, July 5th at 9:30. So we want all of you to be able to really reflect on the greatness of this country next Sunday and enjoy your Independence Day. Enjoy your 4th of July. And again, not because of anything I may have accidentally scheduled, not realizing July 4th was on a Sunday.
Do we want to talk about what you did?
I'm, you know, we're going out to dinner with some friends, and then we're going to a rooftop bar to watch fireworks.
Are any of us invited, or is this just something between you and your wife?
My wife and a coworker of hers and a friend of hers and myself. It's a little, you know, it's a quadruple, if you will.
It's a little fucked up that when I go to the Foo Fighters, I get shit for it. But when you make plans, it's just, oh, hey, we're just going to do the show on Monday.
What's that? Hot Podcaster Summer?
Hot Podcaster Summer.
So anyway, yes. So next week will be on Monday. However, if you are part of After Dark, we will be right back here in 24 minutes to give you our monthly pajama party. We've got our OnlyFans quiz.
Where's the link? Where's the link underneath?
We've got our real boobs versus fake boobs. We've got our saucy stories that are too hot for the regular Ron and Brian podcast. And we also, oh yeah, we let all of our Patreon subscribers join us, be on live with us. So it's not just us talking. It is a group discussion. It is fun. If you go to the Patreon, RonandBrianPodcast.com, join at aluminum or higher, bronze or higher,
bronze or higher. Aluminum is higher. $5 a month. Aluminum. And we only have, and what says to me, that we have the best fans in the world is the fact that we only have two people that are paying for aluminum. Everybody else, bronze or higher. People want the video of After Dark. People want to watch it live.
You got to respect that. Got to respect the game. All right. Anything else before we cut out this week, Brian?
The 9/11 of 305.
All right. Well, everybody, enjoy your week. Patreon subscribers, we will see you shortly. Enjoy 4th of July. And otherwise, we will see you next Monday.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.